Amen. How are you guys? Yeah, you alive? You well? You guys won't believe it. So I was in here like 20 minutes ago, and there was this dude up here with a blonde wig. He gave me his jacket, which is really comfy. So, but that was pretty crazy, huh? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah or nah? Like, yeah, 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 yeah. Cool. All right, word. Very cool. Hey, so you guys can open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be going through verse 26 through 36. We're in the next continuation of memoirs. And we're just going to get cranking. Let's read. Cool? You guys with me? Yeah, tight. All right, here we go. Verse 26 says, and I'm reading from the Amplified version in case you're wondering. So it's the best. Check it out. Cool. Word. Verse 26, for whoever is ashamed here and now of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. And the glory of the Heavenly Father and of the holy angels. Verse 27. But I tell you truthfully, there are some among you standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Now about 8 days after these teachings, he, being Jesus, took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, actually transformed. And his clothing became white and flashing with the brilliance of lightning. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, who were speaking of his departure from earthly life, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him had been overcome with sleep. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and splendor and majesty, and the two men who were standing with him. Verse 33. And as these men, Moses and Elijah, were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is delightful and good for us to be here. We should make three sacred tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not realizing what he was saying. But even as he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were greatly afraid as they entered the cloud. Verse 35, then a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen and obey and yield to him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found there alone, and they kept silent and told no one at the time of any of the things which they had seen concerning the divine manifestation. Lord, with that, we come before you. We just ask that you'd speak through us, Lord. God, what a story. That's a lot of words. I pray you'd help us to just understand that and to unpack that, to find out what you want to share with us about your story and how it relates to our story. We commit it to you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, man, let's get real. That was a long story, right? And if you guys are anything like me, you know, like after reading a lot, I kind of zone out. So if you're there, that's cool, man, because we're going to go back and we're going to dive in and we're going to figure out what Jesus is saying here. So how many of you, and you can be real. I hope that you guys know that. Do you guys know that you can be real here? Yeah? Okay. If you don't, now you know. So be real, y'all. So how many of you have read something long like that and you're like, dang, this is a lot of reading and I got kind of lost and all I heard was like Peter and a few other words, right? Maybe you're there. Maybe that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, you can be honest. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But here's a cool thing. Track with me, party people. We're going to learn tonight what this means for us. So what we just read is this event and it's the next chapter in Jesus's memoir. It's the next chapter of his story, and we're looking at the mountaintop and what happened there. So three of Jesus' disciples, they saw something that they'll never, ever forget. The three things they see are Jesus' glory, his power as the Son of God, and his identity. So let's just dive right in, right? Verse 27, Jesus starts, and he's really real, and he starts off, and this is important because he says, hey, let me put this in my language. He says, hey, some of you guys are going to see this epic event. It's going to be crazy, but if you're embarrassed of me, then you won't see it. And are you ashamed of me? And the disciples are like, whoa, dude, am I embarrassed of Jesus? Am I serious about Jesus? If we're serious about Jesus, we'll be invited to see some amazing things. And there's a reason that Jesus starts with this in verse 27, right? Verse 26, he says, for whoever is ashamed of me. See, guys, before Jesus takes you up the mountain, he wants to make sure that you're all in. And there's some questions that we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, are we embarrassed of Jesus? Are we ashamed of Jesus? I want you guys to be all in tonight and to come up the mountain with me. Because we're climbing, man. We're hiking. Jesus has something really, really sick to show us tonight. So I invite you guys to come up with me, to focus in, to not be on Snapchat. And trust me, I see you guys in the back and you're all chatting away like, ooh, duck lips, and it's sick. Ooh, you know, it's not cool. You know, it's cool. Jesus. Rip my jean. Just kidding. It was already ripped. But I encourage you guys, you know, Chantel, my wife, the smoking hot bad girl that was up here. She told you guys, if you're a real thug, like, turn off your phone, like, focus in, because God wants to show you something really cool. So come up the mountain, lean in, give me like 25 minutes. Cool. Sick. All right, rad. So moving on. Verse 28. This is important. Jesus chooses three people to go with him, and he takes Peter, John, and James with him to pray. And they go up this mountain. And it's really cool, and Jesus has something awesome to reveal to them. But I wonder if they were ready, and if we're ready. Or are we like the other nine disciples that didn't go up with them? And, you know, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say why they didn't go, but you can kind of dig and maybe make your own conclusion that, you know, maybe they just didn't want to go. You know, praying and hiking just didn't sound fun. They wanted to go catch some fish in the sea, you know, whatever, because they're fishermen, all that cool stuff. Maybe they're playing Nintendo. I don't know. Anybody a Nintendo fan? PlayStation? Xbox? Please say yes. Yes! PC Master Race. How about none of you? Yes. My guy, Brad. So maybe they're doing something else. I don't know. But Jesus chooses three to go up to the mountain. And I want you guys to ask, man, like I said before, are you going to hike up the mountain with Jesus tonight, with me, and see what he has for us? So the first thing that the disciples see up on the mountain is Jesus' glory. You can write that down if you're taking notes. Jesus' glory. So in the story that we just read, verse 29 and 30, Jesus is praying, and this supernatural, crazy event starts to happen. And I love that it starts with prayer. And notice this, my friends. Jesus is praying. And notice how important prayer is to Jesus. If you're not consistently praying, if you're not consistently talking to this real Jesus, this real God, then get on it, man. What are you doing? Prayer is our way to connect with the God who made us, to talk to him, to say, Dad, God, I had a terrible day. And he's like, yeah, man, it was bad. And you're like, man, I really messed up, and I just feel like so ashamed. He's like, I know, but I love you. Give me your shame. Give me this. Give me that. Like, Jesus wants to help you guys. And he wants to walk life with you guys. And I hope that as we continue on in memoirs, you see that Jesus is not only 100% man, but he's 100% God. And he's 100% relatable to you and me. So this event, verse 29 and 30, Jesus' face begins to change. His clothes are shining bright like a diamond, right? And all of a sudden, two dudes appear. What? This is crazy. This event happens. His face literally changes. His robe gets white and appears like lightning. And these two dudes appear out of nowhere up on this mountain. What? Like, can you imagine what that would have looked like? Like, this whole thing's going on, and Jesus is like floating, and his face changes, and it's just like, you know, this lightning, and it's amazing. But notice, where are Peter, James, and John? They're asleep. Nice job, none of you. You're asleep when the God that you've been wanting to see in this glorified form, he's doing it, and you're asleep. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, how could you be asleep when something so amazing is happening? Like, can you imagine the scene? Picture with me. So, Jesus is there on the mountain. And he's praying, and he's amazing like always. And he's just cutting them in the heart with his prayer, like, just take them there. And, you know, and then Peter, camera pans to Peter, just tears, just one tears down his face. He's like, yes, Lord, amen. Right? I receive it. And then they begin to pray for a while. And has anybody ever prayed for a long time? I mean, and you're just like, dude, bruh, right? Let me just be honest. No one can pray like Jesus because he's the author of prayer, right? So no one can beat him. So I think that maybe James you know, they're praying for a while, and he's like, man, I got to look really holy right now. So I'm just going to lay flat on the ground, just in surrender, Lord, just absolutely bow down before you, right? And then John is like, yeah, Lord, I'm going to just bow my head and surrender to you. And then they fall asleep, right? Like, dude, this is crazy to me. Has anyone ever fallen asleep during prayer, though? You can be honest. I'm raising my hand. We can be real, right? It's hard, dude. Come on, it's hard. Pray for me. This one time we were praying, and it was like, it was so sick, dude. Like, this awesome prayer sesh. And I was sitting on a couch, like, just kind of like, yeah, you know, reclined. And I was praying, and I was like, yeah, this is sick, praying. And then all of a sudden, I don't remember anything. And I wake up, and I look at my phone. I was asleep for 45 minutes. We were praying for like an hour, and I fell asleep for 45 minutes. I won't share the details because it's embarrassing, right? And the funny thing is that I had my phone in my pocket, and the whole time it was blowing up, dude. I had like 100 group texts. And afterwards, you know, like, I woke up right when they're like, in Jesus' name. And I was like, oh, amen, right? Hey, man, hallelujah, woo! And they're like, dude, why was your phone blowing up? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm sorry I didn't put on airplane mode. I didn't want to tell them I was asleep. But I had 100 texts, man, for 45 minutes of praying, and I was asleep. But here's the principle. I don't ever want to be asleep during something amazing that God is trying to show me. I don't ever want to miss out on seeing the glory of God. And I don't want you to miss out. But here's the coolest thing, my friend, is that God will always try and get our attention no matter how fast asleep we are. I love sleep. Anybody relate? Yeah, sleep. Sleep is for me. I dig it. I'm stoked. I don't like to go to sleep, but when I'm asleep, I'm out. I might as well be dead. You know, I'm just like, dead, I'm out. I don't even hear Berkeley sometimes. So Chantel, you the real MVP. Woo! Okay. But here's the funny thing. Chantel is so sensitive to light that, you know, I'll kind of be half asleep and I'll just hear, Cody. I'm like, oh. She's like, can you turn off that light? I'm like, what light? And I look, and I kid you not, like through the blind is like this little stream of light from like a car 10 miles away, bouncing off the dog's leash in the backyard, off Berkeley's slide, right into her eyeball. I'm like, come on, dude. But there's a little bit of light that disrupts our sleep. And when I say that glorified Jesus was like shining, when he was like, yo, you better wake up because I'm going to burn your eyes off, right? Like, he was shining, my friend. He was glorious. He was radiating. Says his robe was like lightning. Like, this is the real deal. See, Jesus wanted his disciples to see him in his glory. They wanted him. He wanted them to wake up to see him. And that's the best way to wake up. The best way to wake up from your slumber is for Jesus to show you how great he is. Like, can you imagine just waking up to the sun, like, in your face? And Jesus is like, what's up, y'all? Rise and shine. Whoa, rise and shine. Hands him some sunglasses. Y'all need some shades because your future's so bright, right? Like, come on, dude. The sun's in your face. It's crazy. But they wake up. And it was only when they became fully awake that they could see God's glory, that they could see who he really is. So here's the thing is, sometimes we're asleep. And I'm not just saying like you're knocked out because you had a rough day. But like you're asleep. You're missing out on what God is doing. Maybe you've kind of gone up the mountain. Maybe you've stopped halfway. And Jesus is like, come with me. I want to show you how much I love you. I want to show you this and that and what I did for you. And I want to show you my glory and my love for you. But you get tired and you fall asleep in those relationships. Or you fall asleep stuck with those bad friends, or you fall asleep at that job, or this or that. I want to encourage you guys that we need to be awake, that we need to be ready to see. Because how true of us at times is this? That Jesus wants to show us something so great, and yet we stand around rubbing our eyes, missing what he has. Some of you guys, even right now, are like falling asleep, and I'm yelling, I'm trying to keep you awake. Is it working? A little? Okay, cool. That's all right. If one of you is stoked, I'm stoked. Cool? You! So, I've missed out on what God has done in my life before. And I've been asleep to what he's been trying to show me. And I want to tell you that it's not worth it. You know the struggle? God tells you to do one thing. He tells you, hey, man, like, don't be in that relationship, girl, or don't be on that website, or don't, you know, talk like that, or, you know, think about those things. And you're like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm going to stay in my lane. You know, God, like, thanks, but no thanks. And Jesus is like, man, I want to show you how well I can treat you, how great I can make your life. But we stay asleep and we stay stuck in our rut, man, not wanting to go any higher up on the mountain. So are we ready? Are we expectant? Do we want to see him? Have you seen God's glory? His physical glory that he's revealed in nature, in life, in our creation, how we're made? Or are we fast asleep? Guys, wake up and see that God's glory surrounds us. We just have to wake up and see. So the disciples, they see Jesus' glory. The second thing they see is his power as the Son of God. Let's look at verse 30 again, right? And it says that, behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. Anybody know who Moses and Elijah are? So they're these bad dudes from the Old Testament. They lived about over 1,000 years before Jesus. So this is pretty crazy, right? Because they've been dead for a long time, but yet they're here on this mountain with Jesus. That's kind of trippy, right? It's like Halloween. It's kind of spooky. It's not really Halloween anymore, but spooky, right? It's weird. Like, what? But verse 31 says, they appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So not only do they appear, but they appear and they talk to Jesus about his coming death that he was going to accomplish. This is crazy, but it's important for you guys to know, because here Jesus is letting us in. He's literally pulling the curtain behind so we can see some behind the scenes action from heaven. He's showing us that his power as the Son of God is real. And isn't it crazy that up on this mountain, three things happen? Not only is it his power and his glory and his identity, but here with this encounter, Jesus sheds his earthly appearance and reveals his divinity, his glory, and reaffirming the fact that he's God. Two, Moses and Elijah, who have been dead for over 1,000 years and who have been with Jesus in heaven, appear. And number three, they talk about the death that Jesus will accomplish in a short time. Are you guys tracking with me? Isn't that cool? And crazy and kind of scary. Yeah? So Jesus does this because he has a plan. Like, literally, who on earth plans their death and talks about it and says it's an accomplishment? That doesn't make sense. I don't, you know, we're Christians, or I hope you're a Christian. If you're not, get on it, right? But if we're Christians, when we die, we're going to heaven. And that's, like, scary because heaven's forever and, you know, you can't wrap your mind around it, not to freak you guys out. But we know that after we die, there's something else. And it's still kind of sketchy. It's kind of scary. Like, I don't really want to die, especially because I'm having a son in March. I really want to meet him. It's going to be sick. Yeah. What? You didn't know that? Yeah, we're having a baby boy. So if you didn't know that, now you know. Yeah. Thanks, guys. But Jesus talks about his death. And he says it's an accomplishment. Check this out, though. John 10:18, Jesus says, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. No one can take my life from me. Isn't that sick? Jesus says, hey, literally, no one can take my life from me. I lay it down and I take it back up. So here's what Jesus is doing. Is not only does he take the disciples up, the three, to see his glory on the mountain. He takes them up to see his power as the Son of God. That he has a plan to save them. That he has a plan coming up. That he's talking about his death that he's going to accomplish. Because he's come to save us from our sin and to buy us back and to make us whole. So Jesus is talking about this to Moses and Elijah. And these three disciples are like, what on earth is he talking about? But Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. And he is in control. He has a plan, and all of heaven is in on it. I love that. I love that on this mountain, Jesus shows these three, and he shows us that he is the Son of God, that he has power as God. So we get a behind-the-scenes look into the divinity and power of Jesus. And this is really fascinating for me, so just track with me. Verse 33, Peter thinks he's a cool guy, and he blurts out, "Yo, Jesus, this is tight, dude. Let's build some shrines for you and Moses and Eli," right? He's like, "This is sick, dude. You're glorified now, which means that you revealed yourself, which means that you're setting up your kingdom. So let's just get a head start and build some temples and yeah." But what he didn't realize when he said this, that he was essentially placing Moses, Elijah, and Jesus all on the same level. But here's the crazy thing. So Moses represented the law. And Elijah spoke the law. So they're dudes from the Old Testament, right? And to the Jews, the law was sweet. It was like, don't do this and don't do that. And do this and you'll go to heaven tight. That's why the Jewish people of that time were so set on the law, keeping the law, this list of do's and don'ts. But this is the reason why the prophets appeared with Jesus on that mountain. It wasn't because Jesus was lonely and he just needed to talk. He's showing us something amazing. And the reason that Moses and Elijah appeared was because Jesus wanted to set the record straight that the law and the prophets bow down to the Messiah. The Jews loved the law and they followed the law and the words of the prophets. So for Jesus to show up, he's saying that I have come to fulfill the law. And he wanted us to see that he's God, that he's the chosen one, that he's the Messiah who's come to set us free. It's no longer do this, do that, keep this law, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. It's be free, live life, be with Jesus. Be free, live life, be with Jesus. It's no longer about keeping this list of do's and don'ts. It's about having a real and raw and tangible physical relationship with Jesus Christ. So first we see his physical glory, and now we see that he's 100% God. He has all authority. He is sovereign. But do we trust that he is God? Verse 35, God speaks in this cloud. He speaks to the three disciples, and Jesus is there. It said, a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, my chosen one. Listen and obey and yield to him." So guys, if you don't believe that Jesus is God based on all this, I think that's on you. Because the Bible is very clear, and I believe the Bible's real, man. And if you don't believe, then that's fine, man. I'm so glad you're here. But I hope to show you that there's a God in heaven who loves you just the way you are. And who has a plan to set you free. That didn't come to just be this, you suck and don't do that and blah, blah, blah. But it's, hey, I love you. You got to turn from your sin. You got to turn from your past. And you got to turn to me. Because I can give you life when you're dead. I can wake you up when you're asleep. So wake up and see that Jesus is God. And that he deserves full authority in our lives. Have we given him the keys to our life? Have we let him be God in our life? When a baby's born, they need parents, right? Yeah? If they didn't, they would die. And that's really sad. You know, we have a daughter. She's in Bible Island now. You'll probably see her after. She runs and falls and gets back up and laughs. And she's awesome. But when she was born, we had to take care of her. We still have to take care of her. She can't do anything on her own. You know, we feed her. And hopefully, you know, I think we're pretty good parents, but good parents need to take care of their child in order for the child to survive, correct? Because if they don't, the child will die. And I don't want any babies to die. I don't want any of you to die. So here's what I'm getting at. We got to trust that God takes care of us like a good parent takes care of their child. Because that word sovereign means that God is in control of all things. That he knows every single possible decision that you could ever make, and then some, and he still works it out for his own plan. That's going to benefit you. Isn't that cool? So here's the deal. We got to trust that God is sovereign, that Jesus is God, that he deserves the full authority in our lives. He's revealed himself to us, so let's let him be God. So the disciples see his glory. They see his power as the Son of God. And we're going to close with this. They see Jesus' identity. I have a friend. I met at a Young Life camp a few years ago. And he's just super cool. Like, he's a principal at a school. He's like this surfer. His name's Paul. He's like the total California, like, bro dude, you know? Like a little bit of like salt and pepper in his beard and like, you know, what's up, dude? You know, high tide, bro. Yeah. So Paul, we're hiking up this like mountain overlooking this camp. And he's telling me this story. And he's like, yeah, dude, like one time I hiked Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. So he's telling me about this story. If you don't know, Mount Kilimanjaro is the highest mountain in Africa. It's also the tallest, the highest freestanding mountain in the world. It ranks in at 19,341 feet. It's a big thing. And he hiked it alone, right? So he's hiking and he told me this story. And he gets to the top and his right eye freezes and he goes blind for 3 days. But he comes back down and his eye thaws out and he's good and he's awesome. But it was wild and it was hard. But it was worth it. Do you know that God appeared to both Moses and Elijah on mountains? It's crazy to think that the mountain is often associated with closeness to God and readiness to receive his words. It's usually after a tough hike, a long trial, an exhausting experience that God shows us who he is. And on this mountain, Jesus shows us his identity. He shows us through this amazing experience that we've been talking about. And this incredible moment, this chapter in Jesus' memoir is called the Transfiguration. And it's where Jesus reveals his glory, his power as the Son of God, and his identity to these three disciples and to us. It's crazy because the purpose of the Transfiguration of Jesus was so that his inner circle of these disciples could gain a greater understanding of who Jesus was, so they could see his true identity. Christ underwent a dramatic change in his appearance. You know, his face changed and his robe went white. And he started to radiate glory. And it said that his robe was glistening like lightning. He did all this so that his disciples, his friends, could behold him in his glory. See, the disciples had, up to this point, only known him in his heavenly body. But now they had a greater realization, a greater understanding of the divinity of Christ, though they couldn't fully comprehend it. I love that I can't fit God into my 3-pound brain. Because if I could, he wouldn't be worth worshiping. If I could fit all the glory of God into my 3-pound brain, what's the point? But I love that God is so mysterious, but yet he invites us to be all in. He invites us to walk with him. He invites us to go up the mountain with him, to be in on his plan. Like I said before, he's 100% God, man, and relatable. The most amazing thing to me about the Transfiguration is that Jesus lets us be a part of it. He didn't do it by himself and say, dang, guys, you missed out. It was so lit. Like, you should have saw me. I was sick, right? No, he says, hey, come and be a part. Come and taste. Come and see my glory for yourself. He invites us to be a part of his transfiguration because he wants to transform our hearts and to wake us from our sleep. John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and life to the full. Life to the full is what Jesus offers. So wake up. Climb the mountain. See for yourself. Don't believe just because your parents tell you to do it. Don't believe because maybe I sounded cool and you're like, wow, I want to believe. Don't believe because somebody else tells you to do it. Climb up the mountain yourself and see Jesus firsthand. Know Jesus for yourself. Believe because you went up that mountain and you saw with your own eyes. Jesus invites us to be a part of his memoir. Will you let him be a part of yours? Jesus, we come before you. We thank you so much that you're here, that you listen, that you've invited us to see your glory, that you've invited us to have this mountaintop experience. Thank you that you relate to us, that you're not some pie in the sky fake God, but you're here, you're real. God, you're tangible, and just because we can't see you right now doesn't mean that you're not there. God, you say in your word that you're coming back physically so that we can see you face to face, eye to eye, that we can behold you in all of your glory. Jesus, I can't wait for that moment. God, I pray that as my friends here, they're climbing up this mountain. I just pray that if anyone doesn't believe in you or doesn't know you personally, or maybe is afraid to go up that mountain, I pray that they would know that we're here at Spectrum. We're their crew. We're their family. We're their friends. We're going to go up that mountain with them. We're going to be real with them. God, and I just pray that they would believe in their hearts that you are Lord, that your plan was to die on that cross and to rise again, to free us from our sin, to give us a hope in the future, and to give us life more abundantly. God, would you be with us as we worship, as we close? We love you. Jesus, thank you so much. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Hey, it's been rad hanging with you guys. Stand on up as we prepare to sing this last song.